I have a little problem that sometimes whenever I'm making announcements at the end of Mass or preaching the homily, my brain works faster than my mouth does. There's so many thoughts that keep bubbling inside that sometimes my mouth tries to keep up with what's happening in my head and I speak too quickly. And so when that happens, sometimes I say things that might seem perfectly clear to me, but unclear to those who hear me. And that happened last weekend at the end of Mass when I made some announcements and made some comments about those questions I've received about people getting vaccinated against COVID-19. So I wish to clarify for you what may have been misunderstood last weekend concerning those comments for those of you who might have been confused or for those perhaps who did not hear what I said last week. So I'm going to repeat the points that I made. Firstly, remember that the Catholic Church has given permission. The Church has given permission to Catholics to receive a vaccine that's been manufactured by the Pfizer and the Moderna companies. So as a Catholic, you may receive either of those in good conscience. It is true that originally, back when these vaccines were being researched, there was a use of aborted fetal cells. We do know that in the development of the vaccine. But because that happened decades ago, even though there is a remote link to abortion, there's not a direct enough link today which would make the vaccine immoral. So the church theologians, moral theologians, have said so, that this vaccine may be received from Pfizer Moderna with a good conscience. Just let you know that. Secondly, the church does not mandate this. One does not have to receive a vaccine. So the church does not mandate that one must receive a vaccine. One may be encouraged, and it might even be seen as an act of charity to do so, but again, no one may be forced to go against his or her conscience. Each person is encouraged to make your own informed decision on receiving a vaccine based on your personal research and your own belief. So do your research, think about it, pray about it, consult with your physician, your medical provider, your family, your clergy, but remember that each person's informed conscience is absolute. So again, I'm not telling you one way or the other. I'm not saying to get the vaccine. I'm not telling you not to get the vaccine. I'm saying you make your own decision on this, right? Weighing all the pros and cons for yourself. So you make your choice either way and be at peace with that choice. And finally, I've said to protect yourself. Use common sense. Your soul's important, guaranteed, but so is your body, as your body is the instrument of the soul. So keep yourself as healthy as possible. Wash your hands, keep up good hygiene, eat a proper diet, take vitamins, get some exercise. Most importantly, the past year and a half has been extremely stressful, but I can tell you this honestly as your pastor, let it go. It's not worth it. Let go of all the stress, get rid of all the anxiety and the constant worry. Put everything in the hands of God, let Him take care of it all. All of this is going to help you in prevention of any illness at all. So stay as healthy as possible, take good care of your body, go outside, get some sunshine, get some fresh air. And of course, obviously, if you do feel ill, stay at home. Stay home, get some rest, and get yourself better. A natural way to health is absolutely beneficial, but whenever a necessary problem comes up, then see a professional medical person when necessary to get some assistance. And finally, pray. Prayer is the best thing that we can do about all this. But give it all to Jesus and see this pandemic for what it really is. You know, God allows us these wake-up calls from time to time to remind us that He is God and that we're not, that human life is indeed fragile. So take care of it, but of course, take care of your soul. Now, keep in mind that I'm discussing these things from a purely spiritual and theological point of view. I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, and this is not being political whatsoever. I mean, just explain this to you so that you understand the background of this all. I'd also say that in the midst of all this, let's keep in mind all of our healthcare professionals, especially those who are working in hospitals and clinics at this time. They're working to the point of exhaustion and beyond. So it's been trying for everybody, but especially those of you who are caring for the sick day and night, and you're to be commended for following the Lord's words, "I was sick and you cared for me." And we certainly want to pray to St. Luke that he intercedes for you on your behalf and for all of those who are working in the medical profession. But one last thought. I think a lot of Catholics in particular would feel more at ease if there was a vaccine that didn't have questionable origins. And I would say this, as Catholics, as citizens, we have a right to demand that our government, that the medical community, that the scientific community do its research and look into developing a vaccine that is free from any kind of moral questions whatsoever. I think all of us would feel better about that if we knew that this is something that we could take without any compromise of conscience. So write letters, make phone calls, what do you have to do? But I think we deserve that. And the science is there. It can be done. So let's work on that and pray for that as well. In Psalm 34, the Lord asks, "Who among you desires life and wishes to see good days?" Who desires life and wishes to see good days? If we hear him and we answer to the Lord, "I do," then God says to us, "If you wish to have true and everlasting life, then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from speaking deceitfully. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek after peace and pursue it. And when you have done this, when you keep your tongue from speaking evil, when you turn from evil and you seek to do good, my eyes shall be open to you and my ears open to your prayers. Even before you call on me, the Lord says, I will say to you, here I am." Can there be anything more beautiful, more consoling to the human heart than the Lord's own voice calling you and me to a bond of love with him? That we open up our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our ears, that his eyes and ears be open to us. In his own loving kindness, God is showing you and me the way to eternal life. But we are deaf and we are blind. We're struck dumb and frozen in sin. Think back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve could see God face to face. They heard God's own voice. They conversed with him freely. Adam and Eve to the triune God. Imagine not just the beauty of paradise itself, but human beings being enraptured by the very presence of God, who is beauty itself. We know that all that is good, all that is true, all that's beautiful is of God, for God himself is all good. God is truth, God is beauty. In sin, we lost all of that. But Jesus came to restore what we had lost. So once again, in Jesus, we see God in the person of his Son. We see the Word made flesh. We see Jesus, we hear Jesus, and he comes to open up our eyes to beauty. He opens our ears to truth. He loosens our tongues to sing the praises of God. By his own life, death, and resurrection, Jesus has restored us to grace and restored us to life. Thus, St. John says in Revelation, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." The Psalms again tell us, "Keep your tongue from speaking evil and deceit. Turn your eyes from evil, seek good, seek peace." And when we are open to God, he is open to us. But when we close ourselves to him, we shut him out. And how often do we do this? How often do you and I become willfully blind to the needs of others? We turn into our own selfish little worlds, with our own preoccupations, our cell phones, or whatever it might be, and we forget about our families. We forget about our friends, our neighbors. We forget about those in need. How often do you and I turn a deaf ear to the truth of the gospel and prefer instead to listen to our own voices, or worse yet, the voice of Satan, and find ourselves in degradation? How often do you and I open up our mouths to proud boasting, to outright lies or gossip or hollow praise? In all this, we find ourselves struck dumb. No honor, no meaning. We can become useless buffoons. But Christ comes to open our eyes, our ears, our mouths. Ephphatha, he says, the Aramaic word, be opened. In that healing, Jesus says, be strong and fear not. By my grace, you shall flourish. Love and honor me. Love and honor every person who comes from me, regardless of that person's status, as you love and honor me, as you love and honor yourself. I have done all things well, Jesus says, and so must we, as members of his body, the church. We must do all things well, healed by the Master. This is the way to true and everlasting life. And the Lord says, my eye shall be upon you, and my ears shall be open to your prayers. In this we respond, praise the Lord, my soul. Alleluia.